brim. Dear Lord, we are grateful to you for this gathering this evening that you have made possible. We want to thank you, Lord, for the blessings we receive on Sunday when we gathered here. Thank you for being with each one of us since we parted. Thank you for students, for workers, for business people, for travelers. We are grateful unto you for each person. Thank you, Lord, for your healing hands on the sick and the afflicted, provision for your children. We bless your holy name. We want to also commit this evening service into your hand, that, Lord, your grace will be sufficient unto us. Thank you for the worship service, hymns and choruses. May your name be glorified. We ask that you be with us as we open a portion of your word to encourage ourselves before the prayer session. I will come to the time of prayer. May you inspire us to pray and give us faith to believe your promises. Those on their way coming, may you quicken their pace. Those in their homes, may you bless them. We pray, Lord, that wherever the children will gather today, in the same manner, may your presence be made manifest in their midst. Be with your servants and be with your children. At the end of the service, may we go home with the riches of your blessings. We ask these petitions with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read from the scriptures, Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which had the sharp sword with two edges. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. You can please be seated. On Sunday, we started with the salutation of the age of Pergamos. And the prophet was bringing to us how that it is a further revelation of the Godhead. Like we said, that the salutations in every age is to tell us the one that is speaking to the messenger, so that the importance of the message is known. That will determine the attention that will be given to the message, and then those who will believe it and act on it, they will know whose word that they are taking. The prophet told us that in the first church age, Ephesians, he addressed them from he that is holding the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The second church age spoke to them as one the first, being the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And this church age is addressing them as the one that have the sharp two-edged sword, or sharp sword with two edges. So we travel a little bit on Sunday, and the prophet make us know that this sharp sword is the word of God. So many scriptures that we went through. And after that, the prophet started dealing with the fact that the true believer in every age, those that have the genuine Holy Spirit, they also have the word for their day. They will see it, they will believe it, and they will live by it. And that is the evidence, the true evidence of being spirit-filled. If some statements are taken in isolation, it will like confirm the doctrine of the Baptist that when you believe the message, you have the Holy Ghost. But other explanations of the prophet make it plainer to us that it is more than just said, I believe the message. Amen. So I don't want to do too much review. If not, we will not proceed. Let me just read the last paragraph that where we stopped. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you. Acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now see that the proof of the indwelling spirit was to acknowledge and follow what God's prophet gave for his age as he set the church in order. To acknowledge and to follow. Paul had to say to those who claimed another revelation in verse 36. Say, what? Came the word of God out of you, or came it unto you only? The evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth, word in bracket, but to receive the truth, which is the word, and to believe and obey it. So the evidence is to receive, to believe, and to obey. Amen. Have you noticed in Revelation 22:17, say, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. See, the bride speaks the same word as does the Spirit. She is a word bride, proving she has the Spirit. In every church age, we hear this words. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Spirit gives the word. If you have the Spirit, you will hear the word for your age. As those true Christians took the word for their age. You see, this is just the phrase that some take in isolation. And anyone that comes to the message, they say you automatically have the Holy Ghost. Alright. Did you get that last thought? I repeat, every church age hangs with the same admonition. He that hath an ear, let him, individual, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit gives the word. He has the truth for each age. Each age has its own elect. And that elect group always had the word and received it, proving they had the seed in them. Amen. John 8:47. And he that is of God heareth God's words. He therefore hear them not, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. They refuse the word, Jesus, and his words for their days. But the true seed received the word, because they were of God. All thy children shall be taught of God, the Holy Spirit, in bracket, Isaiah 54:13. And Jesus said the same thing in St. John 6:45. Being one with the word proves whether you are of God and spirit filled. No other criterion. You know, Brother Bram, in preaching of so many sermons, we said that the sisters that we say they got the Holy Ghost and we refuse to let their ear grow out. Because that is an instruction in God's word. So, if the Spirit and the word and the bride are the same, then it is impossible for that same Spirit that writes the word, that quickens the word, to be inside of a woman, and our own delight will just be to cut off the covering that God has given to her, and also her glory, and claim that that Holy Spirit is resident inside. Abraham said, I can't understand. Neither do I. That's just one. We can take it like that.
to individuals. You know, the day the women carried, not the women, now, when that woman was caught in adultery and they brought her to Jesus, and the Pharisees that brought her carried stones with their hand to stone her, then they quoted from Moses and said that, Rabbi, see this woman we brought, we caught her in the act of adultery. Now, this is what Moses said in the law. You, what did you say? He didn't say anything. He just stood down and began to write. He said, anyone that does not have anything, just be the first one to catch the stone. One by one, they dropped the stone and left. After they have left finish, then he raised up his head and looked at the woman. He said, woman, where are your accusers? He said, they are gone. See, neither do I condemn you. In other words, those people that are accusing that woman, they are also guilty of several other things. They are also guilty, but they are hypocrites. We don't want to talk now about how is it that is a woman, because if the right, if the act is going on and they catch them, it's two people that they will meet there. And these are people, not just one person. So how the man was able to escape from all of them, and the only brought the woman, is between them and God. All right. But what are tongues and interpretation and the other gifts? They are manifestations. These are gifts. Now we are going into something a bit deep now. That is what the word teaches. Read it in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Say, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with that. Then Paul named those manifestations. Now comes this very good question. Listen to the question. Then Brabham want to raise the question. And there will be long answer to it. Hope we'll be able to read the answers finish. Then comes this very good question. I know that you are all anxious to ask. Why isn't the manifestation an evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost? Because you surely could not manifest the Holy Ghost unless you are truly, unless you truly were spirit filled. Now that's a question. That why that manifestation of the evidence? Manifestation is not the evidence of being spirit filled. See, because you cannot manifest the Holy Ghost unless you are spirit filled. It's a question that Abraham is asking on behalf of the people. Now let's listen to the answer. Now I wish I could say that is right, because I don't like to hurt people or walk on their doctrine. Now let me say this to help us before we go into it. Anyone that have heard or have read the message and understood the message, the anointed ones at the end time already have the answers with them. But well, let us listen to the prophet. All right. But I don't like to hurt people or walk on their doctrine. But I wouldn't be a true servant of God if I didn't tell you the whole counsel of God. That is right. Is it not? Just let us take a little look at Balaam. He was religious. He worshipped God. He understood the proper method of sacrificing and approaching unto God. But he was not a true seed prophet, for he took the wages of unrighteousness. And worst of all, he led the people of God into sins of fornication and idolatry. Yet, who would dare to deny that the Spirit of God manifested through him in one of the most beautiful portions of absolutely accurate prophecy the world has ever seen? So Balaam has the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Gave prophecies that are genuine, correct, and true. That have been coming to pass and is still coming to pass. That's Balaam. Now then, okay, but he never had the Holy Ghost. Now then, what do you think of Caiaphas, the high priest? The Bible says that he prophesied the kind of death the Lord should die. We all know there is no record of him being spirit-filled and spirit-led man like dear old Simeon or that sweet saint called Anna. Yet he had a genuine manifestation of the Holy Ghost because he gave a prophecy that was genuine and correct. We can't deny that. So where is manifestation as an evidence? It isn't there. If you are truly filled with the Spirit of God, you will have the evidence of the Word in your life. Amen. Let's show you how deeply I feel and understand this truth by a revelation God gave me. Now, before I tell it, I want to say this. Many of you people believe me to be a prophet. I don't say that I am. You said it. But we both know that the visions God gives me never fail. Not once. If anyone can prove a vision ever failed, I want to know about it. Now that you follow me this far, here is my story. Many years ago when I first came across the Pentecostal people, I was in one of their camp meetings where there was much manifestation of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Two preachers in particular were engaged in this kind of speaking more than any of the other brethren. I thoroughly enjoyed the services and was truly interested in the various manifestations, for they had a ring of reality to them, which means that the prophecies were genuine, just like Balaam's own, just like Caiaphas' own. They were genuine and correct. That's what the prophet means by a ring of reality. All right. It was my energy desire to learn all that I could about these gifts. So I decided to talk to the two men about it. Through the gift of God resident in me, I sought to know the spirit in the first man, whether it was truly of God or not. After a brief conversation with that sweet, humble brother, I knew that he was a genuine, solid Christian. It was real. The next young man was not at all like the first one. He was boastful and proud. And as I spoke to him, a vision moved across my eyes. And I saw that he was married to a blonde lady. That's like a fiancé or something like that. But was living with a brunette. Somebody with a dark color. And had two children by her. If ever there was a hypocrite, he was one. Now, let me tell you, I was shocked. How could I not be? Here were two men. One of whom was a real believer, and the other was a sinful impersonator, yet both were manifesting gifts of the Spirit. I was troubled by this confusion. I left the meeting to seek God for the answer. I went alone to a secret place, and there with my Bible, I prayed and waited on God for the answer. Not knowing just what portion of scripture to read, I casually opened the Bible to some place in Matthew. I read for a while and then laid the Bible down. In a moment, a wind blew into the room and turned the pages of the Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. I read it through and was particularly impressed by those strange verses. Hebrews 6, 4-9. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the heart which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meant for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we don't speak. I close the Bible, laid it down, and meditated a while, and prayed some more, as he had no answer. He was just impressed by the context of the passage. but he couldn't link it yet with what he's praying about. I again opened the Bible aimlessly, but did not read. Suddenly the wind blew into the room again, and once more the pages turned to Hebrews 6 and remained there as the wind ceased. This wind came inside, blew the Bible, opened that page, and then the wind stopped. You can understand that God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. You see, Cain and Abel offered the same sacrifice at a close distance because they could see the altar themselves. The wind blew this one, the wind did not blow this one. God works in mysterious ways. Don't let us enter into preaching because other things will just start coming. The God that make rain to fall on the wool that Gideon put down, and it didn't fall on the other, on the surroundings. Isn't it a God? Yes, sir. He can do anything to achieve his purpose. Right. Now the prophet said, the wind ceased. I read those words over again, and when I did, there came the Spirit of God into the room, and I beheld a vision. I saw in the vision a man dressed in the purest white, who went forth into a freshly plowed field and sowed grain. It was a bright day, and the sowing was done in the morning. But late at night, after the sower in white had gone, a man in black came in and steadily sowed some more seed amongst that which the man in white had sown. The days went by, the sun and rain blessed the ground, and one day there appeared the grain, how fine it was. But a day later appeared the tears. Then the wheat and tears grew together. They partook of the same nourishment out of the same soil. They drank in the same sun and rain. Then one day the sky turned to brass, and the plants all began to droop and to die. I heard the wheat lift up their heads and cried to God for rain. The tears also lifted up their voices and pleaded for rain. Then the skies darkened, and the rain came. And again the wheat, now full of strength, lifted up their voices and cried in adoration, "Praise the Lord." And to my wonderment, I heard the revived tears also look up and say, "Hallelujah." Then I knew the truth of the covenant and the vision. The parable of the sower and the seed. The sixth chapter of Hebrews and the evident manifestation of spiritual gifts in a mixed audience. A number of things the prophet understood at once. He understood what happened at the meeting in Mishawaka he attended. He understood the operation of the gifts in that place. He understood the parable of the sower. He understood the vision that he saw. He understood the seed that was sown, the wheat and the tears. He understood the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews and the evident manifestation of spiritual gifts in a mixed audience. That one of Mishawaka was just an example. But in a mixed audience means anywhere it happened. All became wonderfully clear. The sower in white was the Lord. The sower in black was the devil. The word was the feet. The seeds were people. Elects and reprobates. Both partook of the same nourishment, water and sun. Both prayed. Both received help from God. For he maketh his sun and rain to fall on both good and evil. And though they both had the same wonderful blessing and both had the same wonderful manifestations, there was still that one great difference. They were of different seed. Amen. Here also was the answer to Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's manifestation, isn't it? And in thy name have cast out devils, is it not manifestation? And in thy name done many wonderful works, are they not manifestations? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Jesus does not deny that they did the mighty works that only the Holy Ghost can accomplish by way of men. But he did deny ever knowing them. These warring backsliders, these were wicked, unregenerated reprobates. These were the seed of Satan. And yet, in religious audience, members and users of gifts. That is why this message has put the word first, the gift at the back. He said that the word is higher than the gift anywhere. So every gift and their operation have to be subject to the word. Anybody that operates any gift and does not want that gift subject to the word of God is not the genuine gift from God. That's what the prophet says. And anyone that is being questioned for the operation of a gift and begin to say, no, you cannot ask me questions. I know the way God deal with me. It's either you are operating your gift inside your room and keep whatever the gift is saying to yourself. The moment you bring it out, it has left your personal domain. It's now in the public domain, and the gift has to be examined by the word of God because you brought it out to the public. If you have kept it inside your room, it would have been done between you and God. The moment the thing is outside here, all of us have to see to it. You cannot say nobody can. Somebody has to ask you or forever hold your peace. And there it is. You can't claim that manifestation is the evidence of being spirit born, spirit filled. No, sir. I will admit that the true manifestation is the evidence of the Holy Spirit doing mighty acts. But it is not the evidence of the individual being spirit filled. Even though that individual has an abundance of those manifestations, if possible, himself can manifest all the nine gifts. It still does not mean that he has the Holy Spirit. The only evidence is the person that have the ability hear this message, believe it, and obey everything you hear. When there is something in you that is fighting any aspect of the word of God, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Any aspect. God will not hold you responsible for the one you don't know. But from the day you know, that day you are held accountable. If you cannot follow it, you cannot obey it, Abraham said, then you don't even believe it. Amen. We'll pray now. The evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the day of our Lord. It is receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. He knew that if the people got the word, the works will follow. That is the Bible. Now Jesus knew that there was going to be a terrible drift away from the word in the Pergamon age, which was as yet 200 years off from the Patmos vision. He knew that drift will cause them to go into the dark ages. He knew that the way man originally got away from God was by force leaving the world. If you leave that world, you have left God. If you leave that world, you have left God. Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos and indeed to all churches. I am the word. If you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the word. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that word. This which I am giving you the word is a revelation of myself. I am the word. Remember that. Amen. I'll just quickly read this paragraph, then we'll go and pray. I wonder if we are sufficiently impressed with the word in our midst. Let me give you a thought here. How do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, don't we? Every prayer is in his name, or there isn't any answer. Yet in 1 John 5:14, we are told, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now we ask, what is the will of God? There is only one way to know his will, and that is by the word of God. Lamentations 3:37 say, who is he that seeth and it coming to pass when the Lord commanded it not? There it is. If it isn't in the word, you can't have it. So we can't ask unless it is in the word. And we can't petition or ask unless it is in his name. There it is again. Jesus, the name is the word, which is his will, which is the will. You can't separate God and the word. They are one. The word is the will of God. Then you now ask the petition in his name.
So when we bring requests, it has to be according to God's word. Any request that is not according to God's word, God will not answer it. So there is no need praying about such requests. Because it's tantamount to waste of time.
Now then, this word he has left behind on the printed page is a part of him when you accept it by faith into a spirit-filled life. He said that his word was life. John 6:63b. But that is exactly what it is. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Romans 8:9b. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There it is. He is spirit and he is life. That is exactly what the word is. That is exactly what Jesus is. He is the word. So when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why? That is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Amen. If the church way back there in that third age had only heard unto the revelation of the living word in their midst, the power of God would not have faded as it did in those dark ages. And right today, when the church returns to the word in faith, we can say without doubt that the glory of God and the wonderful acts of God will be in our midst. Blessed be God's holy name. The evidence that one is a genuine seed of God and filled with the Holy Spirit is to hear this word, believe it, and obey it. Brother Bram told us that day that there are people that sympathizes with it. That one cannot do anything. Sympathizing with it doesn't give you any blessings. But you got to be partaker of it, come inside of it, and let it come inside of you. And take it as your personal heritage. When preaching is going, if it is going to men, don't look at other brother or other men. Just look at yourself as the only person he's addressing. And use that word to examine yourself. Once you use the word to examine yourself, and you see that by the God's grace you are living by that, you give praise to God. If there's any area that is lacking, then you go to God, not fight with the preacher, but go to God and say, that is spoken is your word. I need grace to be able to live by that aspect. Those are the kind of person that God can help. If it goes to women, go to sisters, you take it as a single person, not pushing it to sister C, sister D, sister E. It must be the one that one is talking to. Nothing concerns you about that person. Let me tell you that the person you knew yesterday may not be the person that you are looking at today. Something is true that what you saw yesterday might be true. But something might have happened between that person and God, between yesterday and today. So if you are today sitting on the judgment seat of Pilate, judging that fellow, you might be wasting your time. Maybe today God is seeing that one as sinless. And you are there pointing finger.
You are wasting your time.
Just examine yourself. Immediately you know that I'm okay. Give praise to God. Don't use the word to allocate to anybody that is and don't bow in here. You are wasting your time. You are acting like a spectator.
Let me say this. I hope it's not offensive. Sometimes when preaching goes on, some people will go ahead and be looking at some directions.
In other words, I hope this fellow is hearing this one.
May God deliver us from all evil.
It is the thing we are talking about.
We are all individual before God.
The message goes to an individual. Some will even go and position themselves in a place they will be able to see each person.
Every motive God will examine.
I am telling you, every motive. Because there is nothing that is hidden before God. But the Bible says in Hebrews that all things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. He examines thoughts. He examines every motive, every object. He examines it critically.
Don't come to church and receive judgment yourself. Don't come to church and go away with condemnation.
Go to church and do like that Pharisee that went away less justified than even the publican.
When the publican was settling in with God himself, this one began to judge and say, God, this is justifying himself. You know me now. This is a fast social time. I owe anybody, I pay. This is what I do. But I'm not like this other one.
He was pointing finger.
That is what some people do in services.
May God deliver us.
Shall we bow our heads?
My Master Jesus, my Master Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. My Master Jesus, my Master Jesus. Oh, Jesus can help me. Jesus, help. I must tell him. Jesus, oh, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear.
Does anyone want to remember this little prayer that we want to offer to God? Just lift up your hand to him, having your request in your heart. He seeth our heart and he knoweth our needs. Gracious eternal Father, thank you for this little portion of your word that we have gone through. Your word is spirit and is life. We ask, Lord, that as hands are up everywhere, having one request or the other behind them, and you are the only one that can know what the request is. I pray, Heavenly Father, you be gracious unto us and be merciful unto us. Lord, help us to see ourselves, but not others. Lord, your word said that we come to church to check up with our soul salvation, not to check others. Say we come to stand before your mirror. And when we stand there, we see only ourselves and not others. May that be our motive every time we come in. Father, we pray, O God, that you help us more than ever before to consecrate on things that matters.
every aspect of this world, give us grace, dear Lord, to be obedient to it, Father. There be any area anyone is struggling with to obey. Thou art God that promised total deliverance. May you bring total deliverance, dear Father. As many as are desiring to be filled with your Spirit, O God, your word has said that he that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh shall find, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. We know the Holy Spirit is the overcomer. Inside of him lays the victory, O God. Remember your people, dear Father, and baptize every soul that is crying unto you. Grant it, eternal Father. Be with us, O God, as we go into this hour of prayer. Inspire us to pray. Help us, O God, not to spend this time, Lord, carelessly, but Father, to use it as a time to really sweat things out before you, so that at the end of it, we'll go home rejoicing and happy. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.
It must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. Oh, it must be Jesus. Oh, it must be Jesus Christ, my Savior. Oh, when I was praying, oh, praying to my Father, somebody touched my, somebody touched me. Touch, oh, somebody touch, oh, somebody touch my soul. Oh, when I was praying to my Father, somebody touch. It must be Jesus. It must be Jesus. Yes, it must be Jesus. Oh, it must be Jesus Christ, my Savior. When I was praying, oh, praying to my Father, somebody touch my soul.
Shall we bow our heads? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray unto you, the Creator of heaven and earth. It is a great honor that you are given unto us. We cannot easily approach any dignity here on earth, though they are mortal like us, though they cannot solve most of our problems, though they don't have answer to our questions. Yet, to approach unto them, months of appointment may not do it. But Lord, you are giving unto all this free opportunity to approach unto you anytime and at anywhere. You make yourself so simple that under any condition, you can he listen to us, whether we speak out or we speak inside. Oh, remember Jonah that was so deep underneath the ocean and inside the belly of whale. Definitely he cannot even open his mouth there. Otherwise, waters and intestine and things will rush inside. Nevertheless, in that condition, that situation, you still hear him and you answer him. Lord, to show that there is nowhere you cannot follow your people to, we thank you. Beyond our ability to ask, we know that you answer beyond it, Lord. We know you look beyond even what we put down. Lord, you look beyond it and go to the very depth of our heart and our life to see all the needs, O Father. And you are a faithful Father. You promise that when we ask, we shall receive. When we seek, we shall find. When we knock, it shall be opened unto us. We have asked tonight,
Lord, we have sought, and Lord, we have knocked. According to your word, may it be open, Father. Because you say everyone that asketh receiveth. You say everyone that seeketh findeth. You say everyone that knocketh is open unto them. We have done this according to your word. May the door of mercy be open unto us. May the door of blessing be open unto us. May the door of deliverance be open unto us. May the door of healing be open unto us. All that we have asked for, may we receive, Heavenly Father. We want to specially remember Brother Silas tonight. Lord, where is lying? May the Holy Spirit take over his situation. May the angels be in attendance, Lord. Lord, everything that will be prescribed to him, may you inspire such, oh God, to do a miraculous work in his body in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there is need, oh God, for any part of his body to be changed, Lord, you put wisdom in the heart of human being to make automobile and several things, and they have the spare parts. That if any part is weak or is bad, they change it so that the thing can continue to work. You are God Almighty. You are the same Heavenly Father. Lord, from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, may the pillar of fire scan it, O living God. Beyond the scanning machine or the mortar has made, your own scanner is the best. It's the accurate one. We pray that yourself you will scan that body. Not only scanning, repair every aspect of the body. If there is need for replacement, may you do it, Heavenly Father. May the power of the enemy be defeated, Lord. Lord, may your word go forth unto him that he shall not die, but he will live and see the glory of the Almighty God. Let it be, Heavenly Father. Push back every works of the enemy. Thank you, Eternal Father. We are grateful, we are thankful. But because you know you are faithful, Lord, thank you, Eternal Father. As we go back home, may we go with assurance that you have answered our requests. May we go rejoicing, Heavenly Father. Lord, may we not go with the moon that our bodies are yet with us, Lord. May we know that you, our body bearer, you have carried it to Eternal Father. Because you told us to carry our body to you and lay them at your feet. We have done that tonight. May you take over everything, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Remember your servant and pastor in the U.S. Lord, as the days of his return is getting closer, we pray you watch over him. May you be with him, Father. Lord, may he enjoy the rest days, O God. When he will be coming back, may you bring him back safely, Lord. Your servant in Bakatade, may you be with him. Be his strength. And Lord, bring him back also from that place safely tonight. Give all of us a wonderful night's rest, Lord. This weekend, we are expecting one of your servants to be with us. May you bring him safely, Lord. We ask, O God, that the meetings be wonderful and glorious. May you promote your kingdom in our life, O God. Take all the glory and the honor, Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. You brought us safely from our homes. Take us back home safely, Lord. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and granting these petitions unto us, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We are grateful unto the Lord for the privilege to be in church for this midweek service. Brother Adeomi sent greetings to the church. He went to Bagatari for this service. And the pastor also sent greetings to the church. We spoke today also. The Lord bless you. Brashedrak came to Ibadan. He passed my place while he was going. He came to collect his certificate from UI, which he finally got it today. God bless you all. Shall we rise? Brother Jerry, congratulations. Yeah. Me and the pastor, when we were talking, he said, we should bring them in. I told him, yes, that we still have empty seats. That is not yet filled. So all those young men that are still in active service, the job is on your laps. If we didn't make benches for play, we make you for mommy to sit down there. So the church is filled all through evangelism, through procreation. No? Just bring them in so that they sit down. God bless you richly. Yeah. Let's take in 196. When I saw that cleansing fountain open wide for all my sins. Just a minute. It looks as if I saw Brother Josiah somewhere. It seems not. Okay, God bless you. You are welcome. It's Christ at the back. And I saw him here before. He just has left. All right.
Oh, when I saw the cleansing fountain, oh, why for my sin? Why obey the Spirit's word? Oh, are we praising?